We've gathered this morning here for the phase of our worship. Our Lord, before he was betrayed, had a last Passover feast with his disciples, during which he instituted what we now call the Lord's Supper. The primary reason he instituted that was for remembrance. Just as the Passover served the children of Israel as a reminder of the deliverance from Egypt, so the Last Supper is supposed to cause each and every one of us to take our mind back to the cross, to take our mind back to the perfect God-man who hung on that tree, because was carrying my sins and your sins. This is a remembrance. It's a time designed to see how much you can focus. Whether you have the ability to shut down everything in your thinking and think about only one person for this period, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the humiliation that the God-man had to undergo, that you and I will forever have a eternal relationship with God. Think about the sufferings on the cross, not just the physical, because that's probably the only thing a human mind can comprehend, but yet the greater suffering was for a perfect God-man to come into contact with our sins, and that was a horror that we never can imagine. Yet he bore that you and I will have life. This is the time to see if we can focus on that. This is just not a ritual. It is a ritual that has this reality of being able to focus on the person of Christ. For focusing requires the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and that is why no believer should partake of this out of fellowship. There is a warning where it says many are sick, suffering, and many have already fallen asleep, being dead, because they did not focus. They thought this was just a ritual, instead of thinking clearly that they are dealing with the God of the universe, and they should be thinking about him and him only during this period. So for that reason, it is important that each and every one of us be sure that we're in fellowship by examining our thought, our thinking at this point, confessing any sin that we have picked up in the last few minutes or so that we be ready to celebrate this occasion. Let's pray. We'll resume our studies now with the five principles that came out of the narrative that we have considered concerning how Jacob increased the number of his family through secondary wives or the mates of his wife. The first principle that came out of that section is that unhappiness is often a result of failure to meet an expectation of a person or others, especially when it's accompanied by the sin of jealousy or envy. Repeat that. Unhappiness is often a result of failure to meet an expectation of a person or others, especially when it's accompanied by sin or jealousy or envy. When a person fails to meet an expectation, either of others or of his own, the inevitable result is unhappiness. For you see, if a person becomes unhappy, he will probably think that his unhappiness is because of what others have that he doesn't have. Now that thinking will immediately lead to jealousy or envy. Rachel was unhappy because she had no children, as was expected of her. As a result, she became unhappy and jealous of her sister. Leah, in this particular case, So the principle remains that our happiness will lead to other sins, but specifically the sin of jealousy. So it is important, though, that believers should not allow human expectations to control their lives. Otherwise, the believer who allows that to happen will be unhappy. For example, people expect that at a certain age, an individual should be married. Now, if an individual forgets that it is God's plan that's important, not an expectation, then he or she can become unhappy because of people's expectation. So, you don't allow your life to be run by the expectation of other people. Just remember that God has a unique plan and purpose for your life, and that should be your concern. Second, it is difficult to maintain a person's objectivity when one is out of fellowship. Now, this is clear from Rachel. She was out of fellowship as manifested by her jealousy. As a result, she forgot that it is the Lord who gives children to a woman and not a man. Now, if she had not lost her objectivity, she would have been praying to the Lord instead of demanding a child from her husband or using trickery to get him to go along with the human plan of increasing or raising a family on her behalf. Third, quick reaction to a statement that baffles a person can often lead to misunderstanding or wrong response. In other words, quick reaction to a statement that baffles a person can often lead to misunderstanding and wrong response. Jacob reacted too quickly that he missed the plot of Rachel. If he had provided, at least in this case, if he had avoided quick reaction, Rachel's plot would have been much more difficult to carry through. Now, it is essential that when we hear remarks, especially those that we think are offensive, we must remain calm and think through that statement before we react. For it is possible that in reacting, we miss the actual point or the reason behind the offensive or what we call offensive remark. See, anger often makes us weak since we really think under emotion of anger. It is for this reason that we should seek God's help to aid us control our emotion of anger. For in anger, we might take decisions that we will later regret, or take actions that obviously are irreversible in their effects in our lives or in the life of other people. So, believers should be one that should be very careful about reacting quickly because you had a comment. Fourth, it is always wrong to seek easy human solution to a problem that is spiritual in nature. It's wrong to seek human solution to a problem that is spiritual in nature. Rachel was too quick to adopt human solution of arranging for what we might call surrogate motherhood. For after all, later on, God answered her prayer and gave her a son after she has finished with her human solution. The point is that it pays to wait for divine solution to our problems. Fifth, a life of competition does not permit a person to be happy. A life of competition does not permit a person to be happy. When a person depends on competing with others to derive his or her happiness, that person will never be happy. For there is always going to be someone who is better than you are in every way, or has more material things than you do. Therefore, if you build your happiness on what you have, then you will not truly be a happy person. True happiness is not found in things, but in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if you focus on self, then you are most likely will become miserable or arrogant. For you see, when we focus on self, we either go into the direction of self-pity, or we have an exaggerated opinion of ourselves, which we call arrogance. Either way, you'll be wrong. But if we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're granted the fact that we will be happy, because happiness is found in Him and in Him only. So these are the principles that come out of that section. So now we proceed to see Jacob's additional children through Leah in verses now 14 through 21, Genesis 30, verses 14 through 21. Now in the previous session, we have noted that Jacob had fathered 4 sons through his wives, wives' maids in this case, bringing to 8 the number of his sons up to this point. In this section, Leah is reported to have 2 more sons and a daughter. The rivalry between the 2 sisters continued to intensify, for Leah lived quite suspicious of her sister and even resented her. So it is not surprising that this section continues to show the feud between the 2 sisters. This section, while it is primarily concerned with Leah giving birth to 3 more children, it also gives a hint of how things continued to be tense between these 2 sisters. So we begin with the information revealed that the intense atmosphere between those 2 sisters in verses 14 and 15, where it says, verse 15, during wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother, Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said, "he can sleep with you tonight in return for your mandrakes." Now the time of the year in which this incident recorded here took place is somewhere between April and June. Now we say this because of the expression "during wheat harvest." Now someone said, "Now how you get that from that expression?" Well, it is because of the information that we have about wheat in Palestine. Now, as far as everything we know, in Palestine, wheat is normally planted somewhere between November and December, and then harvested between April and June. Hence, we know that the period that Reuben went into the field was sometimes in the period we have just mentioned. Now, by the way, the text does not say that Reuben was involved in harvesting wheat, only that he was in the field at the time of harvesting wheat. Now, we mention this because those who seek to discredit the Bible use this first phrase to do so, at least to make the attempt. They say that it is inconsistent to say that nomads, shepherds, those who live that kind of lifestyle, were harvesting wheat. But it doesn't say that. But the human author, really, in using the expression "during wheat harvest," is simply giving us the time element or the time of the year when the incident recorded here took place. Reuben must have, at this point, become a matured young boy, probably 5 or 6 years. Now, there are 2 reasons we assert this. First, he went into the fields during harvesting period, suggesting that he was at an age in which
He probably could be helpful in the field or could just go into the field. Now, it would be difficult to imagine at this point that, in my understanding, it's really not be difficult to imagine that a 5 or 6 year old boy was in the field with his father, if nothing, but merely as a tag along. So that will give us an indication he was quite young. Secondly, Jacob had not completed his 7 years of service. For it was at the completion of that 7 years, the second 7 years of service, that Jacob entered into another third agreement with the father-in-law to serve another 6 years. But the third agreement came because Jacob had threatened to leave. Therefore, Reuben could not have been more than 7 years when this that agreement took place and when this particular incident took place. So we know that somewhere, even though we cannot be exact whether he's 6 or 7, but he's somewhere in between that age. Now, the nature of the plant is what is quite interesting. The nature is quite uncertain. But since the 3rd century BC, and because of the influence of the Septuagint, this plant has been taken as mandrake. Now, the word mandrake comes from the Hebrew word dude. Dude. D-U-W-D-A-Y, dude. So it's given in the lexicon as meaning mandrake, baskets, or love apples. Now, mandrake is a perennial plant that bears bluish flowers in winter and a yellowish plum-sized kind of fruit in the summer. Now, some think that a mandrake is a poisonous herb with a root that might be eaten, you know, because of the uncertainty. Now, it was really, this is something mostly found in southern Europe and Asia. Because of its emetic and narcotic properties, it was formerly used as medicine. It was used for arousing sexual desire. In other words, it may be similar to the drug that is so much made issue today, Viagra, and some other thing related to it. That may be their own Viagra or something to that effect. Now, most important though, it was believed that eating of its root aided in conceiving a child. In effect, it was viewed as a fertility drug. There's no doubt that this plant gives a good fragrance, because that's attested in the Bible in Songs, chapters, as we say, Songs of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 13. Songs of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 13. So we know from this passage that if nothing else, that it gave us good aroma, besides all the other things that people attributed to it. We don't have a way to disprove or prove it. But we do know that that's the way they looked at it, as fertility drug or something related to that. But the Songs of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 13 says, "The mandrakes send out their fragrance, and at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my lover." So fragrance is one thing we do know. Sweet smell comes out of this mandrake. Now, Reuben must not have been old enough to know this belief that has to do with as being a fertility drug or something that arouses individuals. He was too young to know that. Hence, he might have gathered the plant because of its fragrance, the smell that the flower gives, or the attractive nature of the plant, or the flowers of this plant. Of course, though, it is possible that some servant walking in the field with Jacob, who knew of Leah's condition,
that she has stopped temporarily from having children, and they believe about this plant, might have suggested to women to get at this, go give your mom. They don't know. It's possible. Now, regardless of how Reuben was aware of this plant, the important fact remains that he brought this plant to his mother Leah. Now, when Rachel saw that Reuben had given his mother this plant, she requested Leah to give her some of that, according to the last sentence in verse 14, where it says, Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Now, it is not hard to understand why Rachel begged to have some of the mandrakes, if we remember the background I've just established. We have indicated that there was a common belief that the root of the mandrakes, when eaten, helps a woman to become pregnant. Now, Rachel, being desperate, perhaps, was willing to try anything that could possibly make her to conceive. Now, it is for this reason that she wanted some of the mandrakes that Reuben brought to her mother. Now, we can understand Rachel's plea, because when a woman wants a child so badly, she will be willing to do anything that promises or has the hope of becoming pregnant. So, Rachel was a typical woman, no exception. She now wants to try that remedy. Now, we will expect Leah, though, to simply give some of these plants to her sister with no question asked, considering the common belief about this plant. For after all, Leah already had four sons, while Rachel had no child at this time except through her maid. Hence, if she were a bit concerned about her sister, she would do anything to help her. But because of the contentious spirit of Leah towards her sister, she resorted here to expressing her feelings towards the sister instead of giving her just a part of that plant. So, her complaint was that Rachel had taken her husband, as in the question of verse 15, where it said, wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too? Now, it is really amazing how when people are preoccupied with themselves and the problems they face, that they often lose any sense of objectivity and sensitivity. Leah said here, my husband. Now, in using the word mine, she implies that Jacob rightfully belonged to her and not Rachel. See, she forgot that Jacob never wanted to marry her to begin with. Rachel, he wanted to marry. Hence, if anyone stole Jacob, it was really Leah. However, because of her preoccupation with the problem she faced, she was not able to realize that what she did against God was also affected Rachel. Her question confirms that Jacob must have been spending more time, even at night, in Rachel's tent, or we can say the word house, but really more of a tent. Leah felt that everything that belonged to her, Rachel would want to take from her. It is for this reason that she asks if Rachel wants to take away the plants that belong to her son. Rachel did not ask for all of it. She just said, give me some of it. In any case, Leah realized that Rachel badly wanted the mandrakes, that she used it to her own advantage. Now, you recall in one of the applications that we've come up with in our study so far, that we indicated when you want something badly, do not make someone else know that you want it badly, especially if there's some kind of bargain that's going to take place. Because once a person senses that you want something badly, the stake goes up. And so you don't do that. You play a level kill, even if you're dying to have it. And of course, the key to all that is knowing one fact, and that is this. No human being can keep away God's plan for you. Do you understand that? you be relaxed and go about it the right way. So here, Rachel sensed, and also both of them sensed the need of each other. So by the way, it might just have been that Rachel knew that this plant is not easy to come by. For after all, if you recall, she was formerly a shepherdess. So that's why she probably was asking for this at this point. Leah knew that she had the upper hand and proceeded to use the plants to begin for Jacob's attention or company. Now, we are not informed that she asked for, if you read the text, it doesn't say, give me, I want Jacob's company. It doesn't say that. If you look at it carefully. But Rachel understood that. That was what the sister meant. And that is why she offered Jacob's time for that night. As in the last expression in verse 15, where it says, Rachel said, he can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. Please read that verse carefully and see, is there any place Leah said, I want to sleep with my husband tonight? Didn't say that. So that means that something that this woman was able to read because of some kind of conversation that go on with them. Now this offer though that Rachel made implies two things. First of all, Rachel wanted the mandrake plants because she was willing to try anything to conceive. That's the first implication. Secondly, Jacob spends her nights or most of her time with Rachel because that is the woman he really loves. Now, it also seems that Rachel might have been using the knowledge of Jacob's love for her to control him, just as so many ill-informed women, those who have no capacity for anything, once they sense that their husbands really love them, they use it in the wrong way. And that's what seems to have been happening here, because Rachel here seemed to control Jacob and to keep him away from Leah. Now, we do not know the extent of the bargain here. It is not clear whether Rachel bargained for all the mandrakes or just a portion of it as in her previous request. We say this because the word some that is used in verse 14 is not used in verse 15. Now, considering that Rachel was exchanging Jacob's service or companionship for the night, we might think that probably she said, okay, since you want to play the hardball, let me play mine too. Give it all to me. That could have been, we don't know. So she would have realized that Leah is starving for Jacob's sexual attention. In other words, each of them knew what the other person wanted. So it becomes each one will now play the hardball. Now in any case, because of the agreement between the two sisters, Leah proceeded to meet Jacob as a return from the field, demanding that he spend the night with her, as we now read in verse 16, where it says, so, when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. You must sleep with me, she said. Well, I imagine there are other things, I suppose there are other things that the Holy Spirit left out, but if he did not, that tells you how when people get so focused on their problem, they forget any other sense of anything. In other words, somebody is so tense with the problem, you see him in the morning. Before he can hardly say morning, he's already talking about the problem. Because of what? He is so focused on himself and that problem. And therefore, the common courtesy is thrown out of the way. So we don't know whether this woman say, welcome the husband from coming home. No, all we know is, you must sleep with me. Because that's the only thing she's thinking about. That's her only preoccupation. She said, now this is the reason why she said that. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night. Now it is hard to read this verse and not realize that Leah was starving for her husband's attention and affection. It's really a very sad thing for a spouse to beg for sex. And now any time this happens in a marriage, it is a sign of some problem in that marriage. In other words, apart from illness or sickness, as we'll say, there is no reason for a spouse to refuse sexual relationship with a husband or wife. Doing that, you have sinned. When a husband says no, for no other reason than health or anything, or the wife says the same thing, you know immediately you have sinned. You say, really? Yes. Go check out 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. I'm not going to read it. But nevertheless, my point here is we can certainly say that when there is something going wrong with the marriage relationship, then those people start bargaining or holding sex, as they say. So we can certainly say that the marriage, that the relationship with Jacob and Leah is not what we would expect in a normal relationship where Christ is the center. For Jacob seems to neglect her, or at least pay very little attention to her. Of course, we should never forget that Leah somehow forced himself on Jacob. So whatever she was now suffering was a part of her discipline for her role in deception. Now besides, this whole situation reveals the evil of bigamy or polygamy. Now the desperation of Leah for Jacob's attention is clear from the first sentence of verse 16, where it says, "So when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him." It appears here though that Leah was on the lookout for Jacob to return from the field, probably not trusting the sister. Now Leah must have been so desperate that if she had to look out to know when this man would come back from the field, instead of maybe going to the sister and say, okay, let's, if the man is home, let's carry out the deal. So apparently, Jacob no doubt spent most of his time in Rachel's tent. So Leah knew that Jacob would go straight to her, to Rachel, once he comes back. Furthermore, it seems that Leah did not really go to Rachel's tent while Jacob was with her. Otherwise, she would have not met Jacob as soon as he returned from the field. Instead, she would have waited. All she had to do was just wait and then go and let them complete the bargain that they have completed. But because of the desperation, she was on the lookout for Jacob to ensure that he spends the night with her. Now, so the sad state of affairs between Jacob and Leah are clear because of the things Leah said to Jacob. She said, "You must sleep with me." Literally, the Hebrew says, "You should come into me." Now, this is an idiomatic expression for sexual relationship. As I indicated, the fact that Leah had to beg Jacob to have sexual relationship with her indicates that the type of affection that one would expect to exist between a husband and a wife is absent in Jacob and Leah's relationship. Now the sad thing is that Leah had to explain to Jacob why she was making this demand. For she said, "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." Now literally the Hebrew, this is the way the Hebrew says, "For hire, I have hired you. For hire, I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." You see, the word hire appears twice in the Hebrew. Now, this kind of Hebrew construction indicates emphasis, so that we could really render that phrase as, or that clause as, "I have really," or "I have indeed hired you with my son's mandrakes." Now, Leah is putting emphasis on the fact that she hired Jacob for the night. The word hire here, though, the basic sense of this word is employing the services of somebody in return for pay. Now, Leah is saying that she has hired the husband's services for her son's mandrakes. Now, this sounds like a person procuring
the services of a prostitute, except that Jacob was also Leah's husband. Therefore, for Leah to have to buy the time to have sexual relationship with the husband is a sign that Jacob's and Leah's relationship is not what it ought to be. I know that in my mind. Now, one of these days, if the Lord tarries and I'm still alive on this pulpit, we'll study Corinthians. And when we get there, you will see that one of the greatest, in my understanding, in the physical realm, one of the greatest ways to know when something is wrong between a husband and a wife is their bedroom. Simply. Nevertheless, Jacob did not argue with Leah, but agreed to spend the night with her, as in the last sentence of verse 16, where it says, "So he slept with her that night." Now, I suppose that it's not so much that Jacob did not care for Leah as much as it is that he preferred the company of Rachel, whom he loved. Furthermore, the fact that Leah had to provide a justification for Jacob to spend the night with her indicates that Jacob was much more concerned about pleasing Rachel than pleasing Leah, which confirms the fact stated earlier that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Now, God was certainly gracious to Leah, knowing that she did not get much opportunity for sexual relationship with his husband. As a result, it took just one night of that sexual relationship between Jacob and Leah for her to become pregnant. So we have verse 17. It says, God listened to Leah. She became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Now the expression God listened to Leah is important for three facts. First, it demonstrates that Leah had been praying for God for more children. Now we do not know exactly the detail of her prayer, other than she must have requested the Lord to give her more children. However, considering her negotiation with Rachel about Jacob spending the night with her, it seems that her prayer will have also included that the Lord will make it possible for Jacob to spend some time with her, especially in a sexual sense. Now, if that is one of the contents of her prayer, it seems that the Lord answered that portion by providing Reuben with this rare thin mandrake that Leah was using now as a beginning chip. Second, the prayer of Leah indicates that she is representative of the kind of believer that although he or she struggles with a particular sin, still realizes the importance of fellowship and prayer. Leah struggled with jealousy, but she nevertheless found time to be in fellowship enough to pray because of her stressful condition. Third, that God listened to Leah's prayer indicates that her pregnancy had nothing to do with the mandrakes. Whatever value there is to this plant, it is not what caused Leah to be pregnant. It is God who caused her to be pregnant. Now, even if indeed the mandrakes served as fertility drug, it's still God who created those plants. Hence, regardless of how one views this plant, it is still God who made it possible for Leah to become pregnant as to have a fifth son. Now, from what we have stated previously, it is possible that Leah did not eat the mandrakes. Now, this will even make it more clear that the mandrakes have nothing to do with her pregnancy and the birth of her fifth son. So, this is a sad state of affairs. Why we see the evil of bigamy in this case. Now, there are still some details for this section, but our time is up, and so we'll pick it up next week, Sunday. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here that has not really personally trusted Christ as his or her Savior. If there's such an individual, we want you to know that Christ was thinking about you when he was on that cross. He thought about you from eternity past. That's why he came. to give himself on the cross so that you will have life. He paid the penalty of your sins, so that which keeps you from God has been taken care of. Now the only thing keeping you from having the right relationship with God is, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Who is he to you? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the very God, the one who went to the cross and died for your sins, that will be the moment of eternal salvation. That's why the Bible says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you will have life. As many as receive him, to them has he given the power to become the sons of God, those who trust in his name. Believe in him, and you will receive life. Reject him, you are on your way to eternal destruction. It is up to you what choice you make. Believe in him, and that changes your eternal destiny. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, continues to challenge us to move in the direction of fulfilling your purpose, so that we enjoy the happiness of everything that you have created for us on this planet. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.